Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
I got a bad feeling about this.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
Your stunned silence is very reassuring.
Only on Project Nerd.
All right, you beautiful people. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, brought to you by Geek Garage. It is episode 220, and it is the long-awaited return of everyone's favorite edition of the Nerdcast, which is the TNA show, because it's just me, Tyler, and our good friend, Mr. Adam. Adam, how are you, my friend?
Oh, yeah. Doing good, buddy. Doing good. It's surviving better than you, my American friends. I didn't spring forward today, so did not lose an hour of sleep.
Yes. So for those of you who aren't wise to all of our weird timey-wimey tricks, it is definitely Sunday right now. So we just did lose an hour of sleep, but no big deal. Daylight savings time is dumb and whatever. It's fine. Move on with it. But it is episode 220. It is the TNA show because it's just me and Adam, which is, I think, everyone's favorite, you know, iteration of the Nerdcast. I know it's now, you know, I like it when Iggy's here. I don't like to pick on you. You don't say dumb things as often as Iggy does. So we're just being mean. We love Iggy. Iggy is on recovery mode because he, unlike the rest of us, got to go to C2E2 last weekend, which, as things are turning out, might be the last big Comic-Con of the year, maybe, in the U.S. I don't know.
Oh, I say nobody knows. It's wild. So, like, all of this stuff is, it's so crazy. The world is ending and everybody's apparently okay with it.
Yeah. So COVID-19 is in the U.S. for realsies now, and it is disrupting any number of things. So the first big casualty was Emerald Comic-Con, which didn't look like it was going to be for a second. They were kind of waffling. All the big publishers pulled out, and then a bunch of creators, artists, exhibitors started pulling out. And then finally, I think after University of Washington closed campus, like ECC's like, all right, sorry, we're postponing it, not canceling, we're postponing until a future date, which I think they had to at that point. Like, it sucks because, like, you don't want to cancel for all the people who made plans and got hotel rooms and booked plane tickets and things like that. I don't know. Do plane tickets let you out for, you know, states of emergency and epidemics, pandemics?
That's a tough one. So, I mean, you know, it really starts triggering down to all those decisions all the way up to the World Health Organization. Like, they've got to say, yes, this is a pandemic level world emergency. Everybody be careful and do what you need to do. And it's crazy. It's one of those things. So, like, I've been watching it pretty closely as someone who lives in a city of 14 million people and rides public transportation to work. It is very important to know what's going on. And, like, it's a slow burn in the West, like, exploded in China. A couple other Asian nations have had some issues with it now, but we're looking worse and worse. Look at Europe with Italy and France and Germany over a couple hundred cases each.
Yeah, Italy has got hit easily the hardest out the gate as far as European countries go. But
yeah,
as there hasn't been a confirmed case in the UK yet, has there?
We have, we have several confirmed cases. I think we're up over like 140 was the last time I checked. Confirmed, and our first deaths were right around the same, well, a little bit after the ones in the U.S. So US. Our first deaths were just this last week.
So yeah, the hotbeds of it in the U.S. obviously still in Washington and like New York and those areas. But like I was telling that you before we got on, they had the first confirmed case here in the KC metro area. So now Kansas and Missouri both have confirmed cases, but I think the number's only going to go up as they start testing things. But as far as like, so Emerald City Comic Con was the first big domino to fall. And it fell after some other, like in our world, like we talk a lot about movies. So obviously No Time to Die, the newest and last Daniel Craig James Bond, has been pushed back till November. I think that one has a little bit to do with problems in the West, but I think it more to do with the fact that James Bond movies make a lot of money in China. And you're going to wait until, you know, theaters in China are actually open again. So
yeah. And you're starting to see here in the UK, so right, like another big market for James Bond. The movie theaters here, man, they are just getting hammered. There's nobody out at them. Like, I mean, they're empty. So we're tracking all this stuff, and I work for a financial company, and movie theaters are putting out like profit warnings, like we're not going to make as much money as we thought we were going to make. And since we're a publicly traded company, we have to let everybody know. It's wild. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you see all the adjustments to guidance from companies every as far as like Apple and a lot of those different kind of companies saying like, hey, our supply lines are definitely going to be impacted by this. Like, be aware that this is going to be. Anyone who follows the stock market or has any money invested in the stock market has seen it take a precipitous dive over the last week or two. Like, obviously, it's hard to, you can't use absolute numbers when doing stock market over time because of the way that it always grows, like growth is a thing. But largest single day and largest like sustained drop since 2008, since the housing crisis. Like, so that doesn't look great. We've got James Bond. We have multiple TV shows that were in production, pausing production, obviously. Mission Impossible, the new one, was being filmed in Italy. That is no longer happening for the foreseeable future. And then South by Southwest, which I think is probably one of the biggest cancellations so far, which is a full-on two-week, huge film festival, music festival, technology. I mean, like, South by West is a big deal, and that one was just canceled because Austin is also suffering pretty heavily from the pandemic.
Yeah, and that was the city of Austin shut down everything, right? Like, yeah, not even the festival or whatever.
Yeah, so city of Austin shut down campus, obviously, for UT, huge campus there. That's a big one. Big one. And South by Southwest has come out and said that they basically don't have insurance for this sort of thing. So how that will affect that organization. I feel like South by Southwest is big enough or has enough backers that like they'll be back next year, maybe smaller for a year or two. But I do worry a lot about, like, we know a lot of people who work in the convention world, and with a few exceptions, like the Reed Pops of the world who run 10, 15 conventions across the country, a lot of these conventions are run, I mean, their budgets are within the skin of their teeth every year just to stay flat or stay in the black after you've paid everyone, after you've paid the venue, all that kind of stuff. Like, having to cancel and then refund people before without even, you know, selling a single ticket is going to be, like, I wonder how many conventions are big enough to not be able to cancel but then won't be back again afterwards.
Well, I mean, it's going to really come down to what happens in, I think, the next month or 6 weeks, maybe 2 months at the outside. Is really going to take so much planning and looking at everything and how quickly it grows now that it's kind of gotten everywhere, right? Now we're seeing cases. Canada's got a bunch, US, here in England, across Europe, you're starting to see them more crop up. It's really going to be how quickly we can get it under control and how we can mitigate some of those problems. Because it you know, 2 week life cycle, we can get it under control pretty quick if we can stop it from growing. And then I think you'll start to see stuff kind of level back out towards the, hopefully, summertime, certainly into the summer. So those last couple shows in the con season look like they should be all right, but there's a lot between now and then. So
yeah, I'm really curious. So the next big one, at least in our circles, is Planet Comic Con, which as of today is less than 2 weeks away. It's the first day of Planet Comic Con, March 20th. Friday afternoon, Friday evening, Planet Comic Con released a statement saying, hey, as of right now, no plans to change anything or cancel anything or move anything, but we are watching it. We'll keep you posted. And then less than 24 hours or just over 24 hours after that statement came out, the Kansas City metro area had its first confirmed case. And I would assume if that number goes up even a little bit over the next week, that we might see an impact with Planet Comic Con. So,
I mean, it's one of those things you got to be careful with it, right? Because anybody with, you know, compounding conditions and things like that. So if you have asthma and certainly anything with your lungs, this is a huge problem for those kind of people. And you don't want to be the organization that doesn't take it seriously. And it's like, oh, it's just the flu and we'll be okay. And then have an outbreak that ends up killing people that come to your show, right? I mean, like, it's so, so hard because we just don't know enough about it yet, right? Like, we don't know what it's going to do. We don't know how it's going to impact all the people it can impact. So
yeah,
I think you got to be safe.
100%. I think a lot of people have been frustrated or said this is an overreaction, but it's only an overreaction if it's fine. And we've already seen it get pretty bad in other places. Like, you don't want to be the one show that's like, no, it's fine. Everyone's overreacting. Everyone come. And then, you know, 50,000 people come down with the virus, and all those people might be fine, but here's the thing. If I were to get it, I'm not concerned about my well-being, but I interact with a lot of people every day who I can't speak to, like, you know, their, you know, immune system or their overall health. Like, you gotta just be careful. Like, and I'm worried that, I don't know. We'll see. I hope that everyone starts being more careful than they are, but been washing my hands a lot, been trying to touch my face less. I touch my face a lot, but we'll see. Maybe I'll have to start wearing glasses.
That my beard looks okay. Like I don't adjust it in the day. And like riding on the train, I try to touch things as little as possible. So I find places where I can lean up against stuff instead of holding onto the rails. And as soon as I get to work, I wash my hands. And as soon as I get home, I wash my hands, and I'm washing them all day throughout the day. Yeah. I mean, you know, we talk about this all the time with our nerds convention season. Take care of yourself, get your vitamin C, start your airborne before you go, all those kinds of things. There's nothing wrong with doing that fairly regularly right now, as we're hoping everybody can make it through all of this. So
yeah, this is not just your normal con crud. So treat it seriously. But I mean, I'm sure that this will be a topic for us to talk about for the foreseeable future. Hopefully not super long, but you never know. We will keep you guys posted on any more things that affect us. But we luckily were able to get some people out to C2E2, which, like I said, might end up being the last really big show of the year in the U.S., depending on how this COVID-19 thing breaks out. But if you go online, we already have a ton of content. A couple of interviews have gone up. Obviously, if you listen to this show, last week's episode didn't have Adam and I, but it did have our fearless leader, Iggy, and our good friend, James Wolfgar Weapons. And they were at C2E2 just talking about the show, talking about prop making, all sorts of awesome stuff. Gala was out there. Iggy was out there. Obviously, all the Cause Awesome and Wolfgar people are out there. So I'm sure we've already got quite a bit of content up. I'm sure there is more to come in the weeks to come. So keep an eye on Project Nerd for that. I don't know what else. That was kind of a downer. Let's talking about, you know, pandemics. Anything else good happening in the world, my friend Adam?
I mean, we really enjoy talking about is the board game. So if we're not talking about that, then it's a bummer. But like we said, you need to talk about it. No, man. I mean, other than that, I'm doing a bunch of reading still.
I like to hear that. Anything really good lately?
And so I've been having a hard time getting to the end of Lock and Key. So I've got book 6 left.
All right.
And then book five blew my mind. I really, really enjoyed that. I think that's so far my favorite book of the series. And the reason I have a hard time finishing that is for Valentine's Day, Laura got me the Saga Compendium. I don't know if you were on when we talked about that. Like, you know,
that's
from the beginning to where we are.
That's some serious business.
Yeah. And so I read through all of that. I did it at my lunch break at work. I lugged this thing to work back with me in my backpack. And my coworkers were like, that's a big book. I'm like, oh, it's a comic, you know. And then the next day I was almost halfway done with it. And they're like, you're reading that really fast. And I'm like, well, again, it's a comic. So it's a little bit easier, but yeah, it's also just damn good book. So I've made it to the end of what we have for Saga so far, which is absolutely fantastic. I am reading the Darth Bane trilogy. That's the book I read on the train. That's good stuff.
I like that. One that I will throw your way, because the new one just came out and now you're an expat, so it might even be more fun, is the newest Rivers of London book came out. They're a series by Ben Aronofsky, but the main character is named Peter Grant, and he is a PC for the London Police Department, police constable, sure. But yeah. He gets folded into the secret wizard part of the London Police Department. So he works under it. So it's urban fantasy. It takes place in London, but nice. He has to do real honest police work. So it's like almost like a police procedural with spells and and gods and vampires and monsters. It's pretty fun. So
good times.
First one's called Midnight Riot, but the newest one just came out. So I'm excited to read it.
That's good. I did read the first two books in the Iron Druid series.
Oh, Kevin Hearn.
Yeah.
God, I am so far behind on those. I read the first, they were coming out one after another there for a while, and I read at least the first six or seven. I can actually, from where I'm sitting, I can see the most recent one sitting on the shelf and still haven't gotten to it or the one before it. But yeah, because he went off and read a bunch of, he wrote some like comic books, he wrote some Star Wars books.
Yeah, so he kind of Star Wars stuff, yeah.
Because last time we ran into him at a show, it might have been C2E2.
I think it was C2E2, yeah.
3-4 years ago, because I had him sign one of my copies of one of the Iron Druid books, and he had just signed on to do multiple different Star Wars books in the new, in the new EU. So
yeah.
What do you think so far?
They're fun.
They're a lot of fun. I would say they're like a quicker, if you're into like the Dresden Files, you'll like this, but I won't put them on the same level as that, but they're really good. A lot of fun.
Yeah. No, they're super fun. The stories he tells so far are great. The characters are absolutely fantastic. And the way he writes, I mean, it's fantasy. So I'm going to say this sentence. It's going to sound very weird, but the way he writes dogs is my favorite thing in the history of the world.
Oberon is easily the best character in the entire series.
He's so fantastic. And he, like, so the first book, I'm like, oh, that's a really funny character. And in the second book, it's he's even better. So I enjoyed it, but I got to the third book, and it's not for sale Kindle-wise. Like, there wasn't a Kindle version that I could find. And then Amazon.co.uk doesn't have a paperback version unless you buy it used for, like, £20. And I was like, I'm trying to see if I can find it in a bookstore. But so I got to the third book and then just have had to stop for a little while, which has bummed me out. But
loving, I mean, I own the Kindle version of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the first 7 of them. I just checked just now. And I have 8 sitting.
That's the one on the shelf?
Yeah, 8 sitting over there actually in full on, like, real actual book form. And then 9 is the one I haven't gotten yet. Did I finish 6 or 7? I don't know. I own 8 of them. I haven't read the 9th one or the 8th one. And I'm not even sure that I've read the 7th one, but I definitely own them. Anyway, long story short, I'll try to see if I can find a way to get you. The third one is hammered, right? I'll see if I can find a way to get it to you.
That's the one I'm having trouble finding. So
fair enough. But yeah, so yeah, that's exciting. I'm glad you're enjoying those books. They're really fun. Mm-hmm. Speaking of urban fantasy and cool dogs and wizards and stuff, we finally have a date for Peace Talks. You can now pre-order Peace Talks on Amazon, and the date I believe is July or August. Really? Let me double check this, because I already pre-ordered it. The release date is July 14th, so not that far off.
No, that's not too bad. For everyone, that is the next Dresden Files book. So.
Yeah, so Dresden everyone Files.
Was like, what the hell is Peace Talks? That's
Dresden Files book 16. So 16th in the Dresden Files, the 15th book. And I'm not, he's written 16 of them, plus another series called Codex Alera with 6 books, plus the start of another series. I'm not going to give him a hard time. Jim Butcher had a lot going on in his life. But the last Dresden Files book, Skin Game, came out... It's like
2014, 2013, right?
That's what I'm about to look. It was published in 2014. So it's been almost 6 years. It will have been more than 6 years when this book comes out since the last one. So that was kind of a rough wait, but it's here and we're excited. Wow. He's going to be at Planet Comic Con. If Planet Comic Con happens, he is scheduled to be here. He used to live in the Kansas City area for a long time. So we're excited to see him back. But that book is on, will be on book. It has a cover and everything. It will be on bookshelves in July, which is super exciting.
I like it.
Well, how many people turned off because we started talking about books? Oh, Iggy wasn't here to stop us.
Probably all of them. Yeah. Iggy's
listening to this right now, and he's just like, God, stop talking about books. Talk about things people like. Books are fine, Iggy, and everyone likes them.
Right. Everyone likes books.
What other cool news things have been going on? Oh, I love this one. So now for the second time, we will have Batman being a Marvel villain. I don't know if you heard that. Yes. So I don't know where it was at, some award show or something, but Tessa Thompson officially announced that Christian Bale will be, I don't know if the villain or a villain in Thor Love and Thunder. So I'm real pumped about that.
Yeah, no, they get some very good villains. Like, holy cow. But I guess, you know, I want to see where we go with him. Is he a one and done bad guy, or is this an introduction to somebody that's going to continue creeping up, because I would like that. I think Christian Bale is quite good.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what direction they're going villain. Are they going back kind of like to classic Thor comics as Guardian? Are they going a different direction? Are they going cosmic? Because he hooked up there with Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's had a lot of cosmic stories. There's also been talk of Beta Ray Bill possibly showing up in this one or later, because they were talking. There's been some rumors going out there about them setting up the next group to be the Guardians of the Galaxy. Because over the years, like, Guardians of the Galaxy's team composition has changed a ton. And it sounds like this third one might be the last go round for this group. And the next one, you know, bring in like Adam Warlocks or some Moon Dragons or possibly Beta Ray Bills and things like that. So I really want to know who Christian Bale is going to be, is basically the gist of that one. So, because that's, I mean, we don't, when is our next Marvel movie? Is it Eternals? Is it, no, it's Black Widow. So we have Black Widow coming, and then Love and Thunder, Eternals. What's the next one on the docket after Black Widow? I honestly don't know. I should probably look this up. Probably should have looked this up before we started recording.
I think it's Eternals, right? Or do we end up with the TV show? Because that's the other thing. You start piecing in Falcon and Winter Soldier and
WandaVision. Those are supposed to come out this year. Right,
yeah. So do those count? Yeah. Right. I feel like they kind of have to a little bit, because they're in that world, right? Like, they're not separating these like they did the Marvel TV shows, where it's like, yes, they exist and acknowledge the things that are happening in the movies, but like,
I forgot about Shang-Chi. So based on Wikipedia, projected U.S. release dates or announced release dates, which obviously are subject to change for any number of reasons, not excluding the coronavirus, but Black Widow comes out in May. Mm-hmm. The Eternals comes out this November. And then next year, we got Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings in February, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness in May, Spider-Man sequel July, and Thor Love and Thunder November.
Jeezy Pete. And then you got the TV shows, right? Like, so
and then the Falcon TV and Winter shows.
Soldier and WandaVision for sure.
And then apparently Black Panther 2 is May 2022. But TV shows,
that's a long time. That is a long time for Black Panther.
They have Marvel Cinematic Universe, television.
Right. I mean, Disney Plus has been talking about them already, right?
Yes. And do they even have them on here? Nope. Marvel. Nope. Those are anime. Okay. Marvel Studios series. So like we take off because there's the, it's just confusing because they have like the shows here from like Netflix, and then they have the shows from Freeform and Hulu. And then there's another Hulu one that's still on tap. Like Cloak and Dagger and Runaways have been canceled for the most part. Everything on Netflix was canceled. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s in its last series. Agent Carter's already ran. Inhumans lasted all of a second. But they have this other one, Hellstrom, that's supposed to be on Hulu that's not, that hasn't even premiered yet. So I don't know much about that one, but it's apparently a young adult one, serial killer. I don't know. We'll have to look into that one. I mean, Disney technically owns all of Hulu now, so that's not...
Right. We'll get to see that when we get to see New Mutants.
So it looks like Falcon and Winter Soldier, August of this year, WandaVision, December of this year, then Loki early next year, the What If series, which I'm really looking forward to, mid next year, Hawkeye late next year, and then no dates yet for the Ms. Marvel show, the Moon Knight show, or the She-Hulk show.
So I feel like out of those, the What Ifs probably don't tie into the universe at all, right?
No. Those are
standalone one.
Anthology What Ifs, yeah.
But all the rest of those definitely sound like they will tie in. I don't know, once we get all the way out to She-Hulk and some of the others, if they're going to introduce them in the movies, but I mean, Hawkeye, Wanda and Vision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, like they're all definitely in the movies and exist in that universe for sure, right?
100%. Like they, I mean, like at least those first few, those are all people who have already been in the movies. So I don't know. It's curious. And like, are the TV shows, if now that those, they're making shows about people who have already been, who are already in the MCU, does that mean all the shows they're going to make are people who are in the MCU or not? I don't know. I'm surprised, and I know there's a lot of things going on at Disney, and obviously Marvel's taken a step back because of how hard they went to get all the way up to Infinity War, but like they're still waiting to hear, are they going to make any announcements anytime soon about how the X-Men are going to get folded in, how the Fantastic Four are going to get folded in, if they're going to get folded in at all. Is Spider-Man officially out after this one and the next one? Like, how's that work? Like, there's so much going on with the Marvel Universe. Like, I'm curious to see what the next big announcement is. Or is there a big next announcement? Like, or are they just kind of, we're going to get through this year and then next year maybe we'll hear something?
Do you think they can keep it under wraps and really do some crazy stuff with Doctor Strange next year that pulls everything in? Like, can they keep it quiet for whatever that ends up being, 14, 15 months till we get to Doctor Strange? Because the Madness of the Multiverse, like that is a title that really makes you think they're going to do some crazy stuff, and that's where you're going to get pulled in all of these other people.
Yeah, but yeah, 100%. And the fact that we've got, they've confirmed that Elizabeth Olsen will be in it as Scarlet Witch, and it will definitely have tie-ins to WandaVision. And it's also apparently going to have tie-ins to the Loki series, which we know like that Loki apparently is the Loki from, because like the Loki in the real MCU is dead, but then there's this other Loki who's from a different alternate reality where they steal the thing and he steals the stone. It does a whole thing.
The one who got hooked up with the time heist. Yeah.
And then did they ever say, like, does it have a director yet? Because there was talks there that Sam Raimi was going to be taking over as the director
for which project?
For Multiverse of Madness.
Doctor Strange? Oh yeah, I don't know.
Because what's the guy who did the first one has pulled out, like is no longer attached to it, last I heard. And the word on the street is that there's a really good chance that it might end up being Sam Raimi. I don't know if that's ever been confirmed or completed or anything like that. So
that'd be interesting. I mean, other than the Russos, have we had multiple people direct multiple movies in the MCU. And I know the original Spider-Mans weren't, but Spider-Man 1 and 2 were quite good.
I mean, I love Spider-Man 1 and 2 so much. And I love most other things that Sam Raimi said. I love Dark Man. I love all the Evil Deads.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. How do you think his weird tongue-in-cheek sense of humor gets on with a Doctor Strange movie?
I think it would be really fun. I think it would be a lot of fun. It says on Wikipedia, still says on February 5th, it was announced that he was in talks, but nothing after that. So I think that would be an interesting fit. I'd like to see him get a crack at doing it in the new and improved MCU, because he did some really amazing things. As long as we don't mention his third movie, like, he did some really amazing things with Spider-Man. I mean, Spider-Man 2 is still, to this day, it might be my favorite comic book movie of all time. Like, it's definitely top five. It's such a good movie. I'm just going to think about that for a minute, but... But anyway, so...
So, Christian...
How do we get Christian Bale, Christian Batman? Bale. So now, after... We've already had the first of the new Batman, the new cinematic Batmans, has been a villain. So, Our dear, dear friend, who was one-time Batman... Then he was Birdman, and now he's the Vulture. He likes things with wings.
Right.
But yeah, Michael Keaton was the first to do it. So now Christian Bale's going from Batman to, we don't know who, but...
To somebody. How many people have played in both universes, DC and Marvel?
Ryan Reynolds is usually the first one that jumps out of people.
Right.
Because he did both. Yeah. We also have, obviously, Michael Keaton now. We have Christian Bale now.
Yep.
I feel like there's... Definitely,
I'm sure there's more.
More than that. I'm trying to think now.
People are going to be yelling at their podcast, like, what the hell's wrong with you two? You're the worst at this. And we are. Yeah, there's definitely got to be more. So what about...
Well, technically Ben Affleck, because Ben Affleck was Daredevil.
Oh, we're doing Daredevil?
I'm just saying, we're doing old Batman, so...
Yeah, that's true. All right, got to do Daredevil then. That hurts, though. I don't want to... Don't make me.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, kind of sort of ones. So, like, what's his name? James Marsden, Cyclops.
Right.
He was in Superman Returns, the Brandon Routh one, because he played, like, the guy. He played Perry White's son who married Lois Lane while Superman was gone.
Wow, that's a deep one, Tyler. That's a deep cut right there, bud.
Natalie Portman was in V for Vendetta, which is technically a DC DC comic.
Oh.
Same with Hugo Weaving. I mean, V for Vendetta is technically a DC comic.
Right.
Obviously, Josh Brolin has done it now because he was Thanos and Cable. And Jonah Hex. Jonah Hex is a DC comic.
There you go.
No one ever saw that movie, but he was in it.
No. I remember the trailer for it, and I'm upset by that, even.
God, who else? Who else? What's his name?
There's a good number.
Who plays Korath, the henchman for... He was in Blood Diamond, and he's the henchman of Ronan the Accuser.
Oh, Ronan the Accuser? Oh, that's unfortunate. Oh, yeah, I can't think of his name right now.
Digimon Hansu.
That's the one, yeah.
He was Papa Midnight in Constantine. That's a DC comic. Hellblazer.
Yes, thank you. I actually enjoy that movie.
I love that movie. That's a fantastic movie. It's not Constantine. Like, he's not John Constantine from the comic books, but it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's a fantastic movie. We could probably do this for a while, but...
Yeah, we should stop. We're going to get in trouble.
Iggy hates it. Iggy hates it. Never going to let us do this by ourselves. Every time we list things, he gets really angry at us. So. I don't know. You guys... And the worst part about it is not even that we're listing things. We're listing things that are probably... I could type two words into Google and get a super list of these things.
Right.
And there's probably people yelling at their car radios or their headphones right now being like, why are... Stop it. Stop it. You can tell we did a lot of prep for this week's episode, so...
Yeah.
I don't know if any is paying attention.
We're professional like that.
The one thing I did want to touch on this week, now that we've gone off on two ridiculous tangents, is I know you don't know a ton. You said you hadn't heard a lot about it. There's the buzz for it, I feel like, has been very subdued, even though they've had Super Bowl commercials and stuff like that. But the new streaming service that Jeffrey Katzenberger, Quibi?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Quibi.
Quibi. Let's go with Quibi. So this new streaming service is designed specific. So if you remember the Super Bowl commercial, it was the one where people were watching stuff on their phone vertically, then horizontally, and you would turn it, and it worked both ways because of something about the way they do the scaling for it and the way that they film it. But anyway, this is supposed to launch in April, so like a month from now. You can sign up now to get like a 90-day free trial. Jeffrey Katzenberger, who used to run Disney, was the chairman of Disney for a long time, like in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. A bunch of other people involved make Whitman, but it's coming. And but they announced just, what was it, this week? When did their announcement come out? Like yesterday? They basically announced, 2 days ago, they announced their initial lineup of 50 shows. That is a 5 and that is a 0. 50 different shows that will be on their service. And there's a lot of stuff here. Like, just in the same, like, we knew that, like, obviously Spielberg was involved. He was doing a thing for it. We knew that there was a bunch of other people in it. But it's basically, part of it is that apparently the shows, instead of doing 30-minute to an hour-long episodes, everything will be around 10 minutes long. So it's only, it's predominantly made to be seen on streaming devices and short, quick, digestible episodes. But we have an adaptation of Most Dangerous Game with Christoph Waltz and Liam Hemsworth. We have a show called Survive with Sophie Turner and Corey Hawkins. We've got a show called Flipped with Will Forte, Caitlin Orson, Eva Longoria, Andy Garcia, just Jennifer Lopez has a project. Chrissy Teigen has a project. There's a show where Idris Elba and Ken Block, the driver, the professional driver, face off against each other in a stunt series where they do different weird, crazy stunts. There's the list of shows on this is insanely long. I don't know how long they've been had these shows
they
in
just,
production.
Like, contact or famous people and be like, you got anything crazy you've ever wanted to do? And they're actually, I've got this thing I've been trying to get off the floor. And they're like, cool, let's do it.
Well, I think obviously the whole, like, hey, things only have to be 10 minutes long, I think probably brought a lot of people in. But there's also, like, a bunch of daily shows that they got. There's going to be some podcasts are getting adapted to do daily shows on it. CBS News, BBC News, NBC News have put a bunch of stuff on there. The Weather Channel is going to have a weather show on it. Rotten Tomatoes is going to have a show on it. TMZ is going to have some shows on it. Polygon's making a speed run series for it. Fandango is going to have a trailer series. The Dodo is going to have a series on it. Like, ESPN is going to have a show called The Replay on it. I talk about it like this streaming service hasn't been talked about. It has been. It just hasn't been talked about the same way Disney Plus was or Apple TV Plus was or any of the other streaming services. It launches in a month, has 50 shows with names like Spielberg and Christoph Waltz and Jeffrey Katzenberger attached to it. I'm curious to see what's going to happen. But it's also very much like, you know, it's on your phone, it's on your mobile device. I don't know. Here's the thing. They're giving everyone a 90-day free trial, so I guess we can all try it out. But,
well, it's so weird. So, like, you know, have we gotten to a place where, like, you mentioned a bunch of stuff on there. So NBC's got their own streaming service. CBS has their own streaming service. Obviously, ABC with Disney Plus has their own streaming service, and Fox now with Disney Plus has their own streaming service. ESPN has their own streaming service, Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV. What else do you have? Amazon Prime. Jesus, everything has a streaming service. Have we hit a point where it's just like, cool, there's another one? And to me, this feels like, you know, I'll show my age a little bit here. I remember cable companies advertising like their premium package for another like $10 or $15 a month or whatever. And you got like 75 channels. And those channels were things that you're talking about. Oh, there's a video game channel. There's, you know, or at that point in time, it was a game show channel. And there was all of these channels that nobody was ever going to, like, really watch. But for just a little bit more on your cable bill, sure, why not? I'll go ahead and I'll get it and I'll watch them because, shit, something might pop on there that I find interesting. This feels like an add-on package. Like, it's not going to replace anybody's streaming service, right? Like, you're not going to cancel Netflix and pick this up, or cancel Disney Plus and pick this up, but you might add it if you've got a little extra money at the month.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, we all want to, what's the word I want to say, decry the era of short attention spans, but I think there's something to be said for quick little 5-10 minute shows. There's also a lot of, like, documentary styles. Lena Waithe has a show, Reese Witherspoon, Megan Rapinoe, Mark Wahlberg's making a show for it. Like, just, there's a lot, there's going to be something here for everyone. So if you get free trial, if the price tag is not too high, I think it's $5 for ad supported and $8 a month for ad free. I mean, $8 is getting a little bit steep compared to, like, I pay $4 more for that for Hulu. I pay $4 more for that for Netflix. I don't pay for Disney Plus, but.
Well, you pay the same price for Disney Plus. I mean, it's $8 a month, right? Something like that, $7.99. How much would you have to watch it to make that worth it for you?
I honestly don't know.
What is your, I mean, mine would be at least an hour a day, right? Or
Probably. I mean, here's the thing.
On average, even if that were all on the weekend, I'd have to average that much to make it worth it, I would think.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I pay for a lot of series that I don't probably get my money's worth from, but it's nice to know they're there. Like Netflix is one of those things. Like Netflix is the one go-to I'll just go to and put something on in the background, even if it's something I've seen a million times before. And then if a show comes out that I'm into, I will then probably, I rarely will do like a full, like sit down and binge it all in one sitting, but I'll knock something out in a weekend or in a few days. But then the rest of the time I don't watch stuff. The one thing Netflix has got me back in with is when they do like the comedy specials, because that's a one-time sit down for an hour. But I definitely don't watch something on Netflix every day. I definitely don't watch something on Hulu every day. I might go even weeks at a time without booting up Hulu. I should probably not pay for it, but I think I just, once you do, you just kind of get used to it. And then every time I cancel one of those services, it always seems like that's like the next week. It's like, oh, I really want to, oh, I don't subscribe to that anymore. So now, right. You know, but it's a bad way of looking at it. I throw a lot of money away for streaming services.
Right. At some point in time, you're going to sit down and do a budget and you're going to be like, how am I spending that much money on streaming services? I just did it. And I was like, Jesus. Okay. Let's see here. And Disney Plus is about to hit later this month here in the UK. So I'm like,
all right. So luckily I don't pay for Apple TV Plus or Disney Plus. So I get those both free, at least for the foreseeable future. Cause those were both free, year free, one through my cable company. I mean, my cell phone company, one through Apple for buying a phone. So I pay for Netflix. I pay for Hulu. I pay for Amazon Prime, which I would pay for Amazon Prime, I think, even if I didn't have their streaming service.
That's fine with the shipping, right? Yeah. Extra bonuses there.
I pay, so Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime. I will go ahead and include, I pay for PlayStation Plus. I feel like that should probably be included.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, is that it?
Spotify?
I don't pay for Spotify. I use Apple Music.
There you go. Okay.
And I get that free through my cell phone company too. So I don't have to pay for that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's crazy though. But if you were to start adding in all of this other stuff, right? If you had CBS Plus All Access, or
which I'm seriously considering because I keep hearing about how good Picard is and how good the second season of Discovery is. I'm probably going to end up signing up for it. I'm probably going to wait until Picard is over and then sign up and
just come on over. I get Discovery as part of Netflix and I get Picard as part of Amazon Prime.
Do you really?
Because CBS, I guess CBS All Access isn't a thing over here. So,
well, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
So the other ones are like, we'll take this and we'll take this and we'll take that.
That's the one cool thing as being in different countries. Sometimes you miss out on a lot of stuff, but then the production companies that own these TV shows, like obviously I think Paramount probably owns all the, they don't sell it to CBS and they can't obviously sell it to CBS in the UK. So they're just like, Netflix, you want this for every other country except for the US? Yes, we do. So that's kind of awesome. I don't know. I guess we'll check it out. I mean, here's the thing. Based on what I've told you, because you didn't know about it before today, I had kind of been following it a tiny bit, but as someone totally new to the entire subject, I'm telling you, there's a new streaming service that you'll get free for 3 months. After that, it'll cost $5 or $8 a month. Here's all the names that are attached to it. It's only made to be watched on your phone, and everything's going to be like 10 minutes or less episodes. Are you now interested in signing up for the free trial?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Oddly enough, other than the Kindle app on my phone, it's hardly ever open. Messaging and WhatsApp, and that's about it. And then Kindle on the train back and forth, because I don't need to download anything. I don't need to worry about when my train goes underground and I lose cell signal or that kind of stuff. It's just straight in, no problems.
Okay.
Read my book, nice and quiet, and in my little corner where people aren't coughing on me, and it's all good. So I mean, that format doesn't actually attract me. I even have a hard time watching half-hour TV shows on Netflix because I feel like I'm gonna watch four of these anyway, so I might as well just watch a movie.
Okay.
I would rather do that. I enjoy a film better than TV shows, and I've always kind of been that way. So I'm the opposite version of what they're aiming for, I suppose. Maybe I'm just too old. Hell, who knows? I feel old.
That's fair. Do you think their target demographic is a younger crowd? That's my biggest thing, is I'm having trouble picking out who the target demo is.
I can tell you, it's not my parents, right? Like, they're not going to watch something on their phone or that's designed to be shown on their phone or enjoyed on a device, right? Like my parents barely have Netflix and they only do it because they've got a smart TV and they can watch it on their television at home.
Yeah, so, I guess, is there...
So it's people that are always with their phone.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, maybe just specifically phone people. Because, like, I'm looking at some of these shows, and some of these definitely seem targeted at a younger audience, but a lot of these are definitely not. So, I don't know. I guess I'm curious to see how it does. I'm curious to see what kind of buzz we get once it's out.
Right. Yeah. No, I can see that. And, like, I don't want to say it's not intriguing. I'm intrigued by some of those names and some of those things you're talking about. Like, I'll watch Idris Elba do anything he wants to do. Like, I'm completely okay with that. But I'm just not going to give him $5 a month to do it, I guess, right? Like, even the commercially one. I don't know. I'll tell you what it feels like. At that price for that much, it feels like the, you know, whatever YouTube subscription service they had. What was that? YouTube Red or YouTube TV or whatever they tried to do where you could pay them money and watch longer stuff on YouTube. And I was like, that's a ridiculous thing. 10-minute episodes feel like they should be on YouTube and they should just be collecting ad revenue.
Right.
100%. Like, I mean, why am I paying something else?
I definitely get a million, thousand, hundred pop-ups a day because I will say that after years of not being really into it, I watch a lot of YouTube. Like, I probably watch more YouTube than I do Netflix, especially when I'm working on the computer. Like, as opposed to Netflix, like, YouTube is that one thing I'll put up on the screen next to me. Like, I'm onto my other monitors and just fly through shows. And, like, I don't watch just whatever. Like, there's specific shows and channels that I follow a lot that I watch, but I watch a lot of YouTube, and I still don't pay for anything. I watch a lot of ads, too. I don't pay for YouTube Red or YouTube Premium or YouTube right, Music or YouTube Television. I know a lot of people who that's their cable now is YouTube Television. You can get full live TV on it, but I definitely watch a lot of YouTube. I watch a lot of British TV shows on YouTube.
My man.
I watch a lot of panel shows. I watch a lot of 8 Out of Cats. 8 Out of 10 Cats does Countdown. I watch a lot of Taskmaster. Yeah. I watch a lot of...
Make it through QI.
I always watch QI, and I also love Only Connect. I watch a lot of Only Connect. So I love British quiz shows and British panel shows. And then when you take 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown and you take the quiz show and the panel show and you put them together, that's just tough. Me and right. Jimmy Carr, John Richardson, and what's the other host? John Richardson and Rachel Riley. I love that show. So good. All right. So Quibi is coming. Are you ready for it? Please comment on the website, comment on Facebook, comment somewhere. Please tell us if we're way off base on this and this is going to be the greatest new streaming service ever. I don't see it yet, but maybe it's going to be the next big thing. Maybe everything is going to be the TikTok of streaming services.
But I don't.
Yeah, you don't. That's it. Because we're not the demo for that, my man. We are not the demo for that.
I have no idea what's going on with TikTok. proudly saying that.
it's kind of Vine, but not really. Remember Vine? Yeah, it's like that, but more.
No, I'm good.
All right. The kids love it, man. I say the kids love it. I know a lot of people who are my age who are real into TikTok too. So,
dude, I don't have Twitter. I don't have Instagram. I'm legitimately apparently a 75-year-old. I did know it. Okay. It's really
weird. Well, other than the whole podcast and his PlayStation, Adam's basically a Luddite, it sounds like.
Yeah. No, it's for sure. Yes.
Okay. Well, all right. You do you, buddy.
I mean, I read electronic books. Is that...
There you go. You read a lot of electronic books. So we'll let you have that one. I know that you play a lot of video games. So have you played anything recently? Anything good?
Oh, my God. Dude, so PlayStation Plus member, Bioshock Collection came out last month.
Oh, I love those games.
I played all of those. First time I'd played any of them, actually, and I played through all...
Wait, reverse. You've never played any of the Bioshock games?
Well, now I've played all the Bioshock games, Tyler, but yes, leading into that, I bought Infinite when it came out and hadn't played 1 or 2.
Well, Infinite didn't really have anything to do with 1 or 2.
Right, but I didn't really get into Infinite because I was like, I don't understand what the hell is going on.
It's a flying city, and you have a sweet thing that lets you... What's there to understand?
Well, I mean, that's what you're trying to figure out as the character, right? What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And so, like, that was part of the game. I realized that now, having played 1 and 2, and then playing 3 and being like...
3 made more sense. Okay, that's fair.
This has nothing to do with those, but
the setting makes...
And the world and everything a little bit better.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, those are damn good games. And then this month, Shadow of the Colossus is one of the free games.
Shadow of Colossus is so good. We were actually talking about that just at work the other day, that it's on PlayStation Plus. Because for those of you... Actually, you know what? You might as well bring this up. So It was actually October in the States, but this last week was the 20th anniversary of the release of the PlayStation 2, which made me feel super old. But we were all talking about, this last week at work, we talked about all of our favorite PlayStation 2 games, and that list was quite long. I know Adam's probably just is God of War 1, which, okay, here's the question. Of the PS2 Metal Gear Solids, which is your favorite? Is it Snake Eater or is it Sons of Liberty?
So Snake Eater's my favorite, but when I answered because I've answered this question with people at work and stuff like that, it was Sons of Liberty because that was such like a, because it was the first one, right? Like, I mean, and it's so good. Like, not to take anything away from it, but Snake Eater is fantastic. Like, I love that game still. But when you put in Sons of Liberty, like, there's something about that game.
That nostalgia of it. It's God of War 1. Obviously, Shadow of the Colossus came up a ton. Mm-hmm. Twisted Metal gets brought up a ton by most people.
That's a good one, yeah.
It's classic.
Especially Twisted Metal Black. That was a solid.
Yeah, great. Some of the Final Fantasies that made it to 2 get brought up, obviously. Ratchet and Clank.
Dexter and Jax,
there it is.
Jack and Dexter.
That guy brought up a bunch. I threw out Psychonauts. Psychonauts is one of my favorites. That's a great one. So we got to go back now. So now I have so many questions that you've played all of the BioShocks for the first time, because for one, like most people played them.
Okay. I haven't finished Infinite.
That's fine.
I'm real close to the end.
Do you know how it ends? Like, nope. You don't. Okay. Fantastic.
So I'm not going to
deal with that. Here's my biggest question. As someone who played them in close succession to each other, how do you feel about 2?
You know what? I enjoyed it. So playing the first one and kind of ending with collecting your Big Daddy suit and then just starting the second one
as a Big Daddy
right in there from the beginning, I was like, okay, I'm okay with this. I'm glad I didn't have to just recollect all that stuff if to get there again or whatever. But the end of 2 is a lot of fun when you...
They've been out for a while. I don't think we're spoiling it for anyone.
Okay. I was wondering how to phrase it without just...
Would you kindly is definitely a meme at this point. Like, I think
we can...
I will not talk anything about the end of Infinite for your edification, but I don't think anyone listening to the show doesn't know how 1 and 2 end.
Right. So, yeah, the ending of the first one and finding out that, you know, you've kind of been controlled, and Laura watched me play him and she called it right from the beginning. She goes, that Irish dude is up to no good. And I was like, yeah, probably. You're correct there. And sure shit, 1, not Irish, 2, also up to no good. And then you get to the end of 2. I can only think Elizabeth, and that's not her name.
Swan or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, the sister, you know, the little sister you're trying to save who is growing up a little bit.
The adopted daughter of the crazy, yeah.
Yeah, you know, finding the suit for her, and you get to play as a little sister and like run through their world and see that they see things as like, oh, everything's hunky-dory. And then it like flashes while you're doing stuff and stabbing this dead body. Like, okay, this game is really twisted. But I love the aesthetic. I love the darkness and kind of the horror that you're dealing with. And kind of just a setting, not like jump scares or anything like that. But it was actually really fun. I enjoyed playing both of those.
Yeah. The second one didn't go over well compared to the first one.
Yeah.
Partially because of the story, for other reasons too. But a lot of people really didn't enjoy the story of the second one. But I was curious, as someone who played them both one after the other, because there was a pretty big gap between those two as well, as far as gameplay. But the first one is so good.
It really is. I really enjoyed it. I liked them both. And I mean, literally finished 1 like 90% through 1 weekend, and then the next weekend didn't know how much longer I had to finish and was done like really quickly, and then just immediately fired up 2 after I finished the first one, like right after, no delay at all.
That's another thing about 1 is 1 kind of has a slow build for the 75-80% of the game, and then it like has absolutely zero chill for the last 10%. Like, it escalates really quickly. Like the amount of time it goes from you finding out that what's his name, who founded Rapture, what's his name,
Andrew Ryan,
like you finding Ryan and that he's still alive, to like you having to take on Frank, like that goes real quick,
very fast. Yes.
But yeah, the second one was cool because it had the multiplayer. That was actually kind of a neat thing that lasted for all of 10 seconds. But and what are your thoughts on Infinite so far? If you're pretty, how close are you? Like, how many times have you jumped through rifts at this point? So many times.
A bunch. Yeah. So Elizabeth Ethley tugs you through a bunch. And then I found her after going through another one. And she has led Columbia to firebombing New York City. And then she does something to you and you wake up. And that's where I'm at right now. I don't know where I've woken up. I know everything looks better than it did when I was trying to find her while she was firebombing New York City. So I'm guessing she sent me back in time. I don't know. You have that choice at the beginning, whether she wears like a birdcage brooch or a flying bird brooch. And I picked the bird brooch. And then when I see her in New York City, she hands me a picture with the birdcage on it and a bunch of writing for, I'm guessing, herself, and sends you back. So I think she sent me back. I'm not sure. I don't know if the bird and birdcage brooches have anything to do with it, but I'm interested.
How much have you spent talking to Rosalind and Robert? Have you
the spoken Latuses? Those the Latuses? Bunch of weirdos. They're good people. Yeah, I like them. That, you know, the first time you meet them, they're like, heads or tails? And you're like, well, I don't know. And that's always tails or whatever, or always heads. I can't remember which one it is. They're real weird. Like, I mean, that's the other thing. The games just have this real, like, all of them have this real, real weird vibe that is, frankly, a lot of fun to play games in.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you have to say after the end of Bioshock, because Bioshock Infinite has an insane ending, and it was super polarizing at the time. And then there's a really cool...
Okay.
Did it come... Did the collection come with all the DLC? Does it have, like, the Lost at Sea DLC? So doesn't spoil anything, but there is a really cool... The DLC Lost at Sea is a really cool... Basically, it's with Elizabeth, but... Because of the weird multiverse rift thing, it takes place in Rapture, but with Elizabeth as a character. So you get to go back to Rapture in the DLC, and it's really cool.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah.
So I'm excited for you to finish the game, though, because it gets real weird. And I'm curious to see what your take is on it, because it's like there were some people who were like, this is the greatest ending of a video game ever. And there's people like, this is fucking bullshit, and I'm done with it.
Well, I think everybody was done. They didn't do anymore, did they? Right? That's
well, like those... The studio went under, yeah, afterwards. Yeah. So, okay, well, I'm excited to hear the end of it. I'm sorry that our video game talk has mostly been about PS2 games and a series of games that came out many years ago, but well, I'm excited that you're finally playing them. This is exciting. They're such good games.
It's that time of year where there's not a lot of like new video game stuff going on anyway right now.
And Bioshock, I mean, like it's become more common in games now, but Bioshock Infinite did some really clever things with three-dimensional fighting. Like when you're using the sky tracks and like dropping down on guys or shooting guys, like there's a lot of really cool fight mechanics in that game.
Tried to play it. I didn't used to play a lot of first-person shooters. So it was before I really got into Destiny and had played any Halo or Gears or anything like that. So the only really shooter experience I had was Metal Gear Solid, where I played to try not to shoot anybody. So that's a whole different kind of thing. And so I think I got into that one, and it is a little more reliant on shooting, or I was, because I didn't know. I think the big thing was I didn't know how to use, so they call them whatever they're called, tonics in that one, as opposed to plasmids. But I had never played a game with them. And after playing Bioshock 1 and 2, I was a little more comfortable using, you know, kind of a magic spell and how quickly you can regenerate that or how many uses you can get out of it, those kinds of things.
Yeah, and fighting. I'm familiar with
how they do it, and so I felt a lot more comfortable just using them whenever I wanted to.
And finding cool combinations.
Right, yeah. Ways to, you know.
That was the one cool thing with Infinite, is like all the really neat, like you mix this tonic with this tonic or this one with this one and get some cool like effects and stuff like
that.
All right. Well, I think we have probably gone on way too long.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
We're going to be in a lot of trouble next week.
And there's so much editing for our editor to do, and I apologize, but it's okay. Let's do some final thoughts and let's get out of here. You got anything for me?
Man, I feel like I just did my final thoughts with video games. Definitely. Read some books, people. There's lots of good stuff Tyler and I talked about at the beginning. Also, do wash your hands. Come on, everybody. I feel like we don't need a killer virus to help us have better hygiene. But wash your hands. Don't sneeze on people in public. Be good people. Take care of yourselves. Vitamin C and echinacea for everybody. We love you. Be safe. Don't die.
Well said. I will second that. Wash your hands for 20 seconds. It's not that hard. Stay safe out there. Books. There is the next book in the Locked Tomb series, Harrow the Ninth, the follow-up to Gideon the Ninth, which I loved, is coming out very soon. I think it comes out in June. Like we said, July, we got Peace Talks. In August, the new Grave of Empires book from Sam Sykes, 10 Arrows of Iron, following Sala Cacophony, comes out. I'm really into that series. Like I said, the newest Rivers of London book from Ben Aronofsky is out. It's called False Value. So if you're into those books, pick that up. We do love books. I don't know. Is there anything else cool going on? Hopefully some cool movies start coming out soon if they don't all get pushed back.
Hopefully movies, hopefully conventions.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully conventions. Like, everything's up in the air
right now.
We're all kind of waiting with bated breath at this point, but hopefully we'll get some more convention coverage for you. Like I said, there's a ton of C2E2 coverage already on ProjectNerd.com with more to come. Iggy was there. Gala was there. They were hanging out with Wolfgar. There was a lot of really cool interviews. I think I checked earlier today there's an interview right now that just went up with Daniel Krause, who, you know, worked on things like Shape of Water, Troll Hunters, The Living Dead. It's a really cool interview that Iggy got with him. So check that out. We will have more and more coverage to come. More interviews, more information like that. So we want to appreciate you guys tuning in to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, brought to you by Geek Garage at geek-garage.com. It is your one-stop shop for any theme vehicle you need at your event, at your convention. You need a Jurassic Park Jeep, they got a Jurassic Park Jeep. You need an A-Team Corvette, they got an A-Team Corvette. I really like the A-Team Corvette. It's super cool looking. Go to geek-garage.com and you can get any of those vehicles at your show, at your event, or just, you know, have it come over to your house and just look at it for a while. It's super fun. They're so cool. Haven't you ever just wanted to sit inside the Ecto-1? You can do that at Geek Garage. It's a thing you can do. Once again, this has been the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, brought to you by Geek Garage, TNA edition, which is everyone's favorite. Tyler and Adam signing off. We will see all of you beautiful nerds next time.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.